that help with the music?
If you would, open your Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 13. First Corinthians chapter number 13. I'll begin reading in verse number 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Let's pray together. Our dear Father, we thank You for Your goodness and grace to us today. We're thankful to be in Your house. And Father, we pray that now as we look at Your Word together, that Father, You might be pleased to visit with us and to speak to our hearts and to show us the things that only You, through Your great knowledge and omnipotence, can show us. For You are our great Father, our great Savior, and we look to You for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. You know, Wednesday night we went through 1 Corinthians chapter 13, talking about how it relates to the people about speaking in tongues and about the coming of the perfect Word of God. And as we look at chapter 13, it's not about spiritual gifts. It's about, actually, charity. As we read through those verses, you'll notice that each time, in each verse, there was one thing that Paul said that if you were lacking, that's all that mattered. And that's charity. Matter of fact, in chapter 12, verse 31, he says that it is the more excellent way. The more excellent way is through charity. And this morning, if the Lord allow me, I'd like to preach a message on noisemakers, nobodies, and ne'er-do-wells. Noisemakers, nobodies, and ne'er-do-wells. You know, he starts out in verse number 1, and he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. He said that if you, and again I remind you that Paul is not saying here that he ever spoke with the tongue of an angel. He never said that. He said, though I speak. That's a conditional term. He said, even though I could speak with the tongues of angels being the highest attainment, and the tongues of men being the lowest, he said, even if I could open my mouth and I could speak in all those languages, he said, if I have not charity, the love of God, it is a love that gives without expecting any return. That's the love of God. It gives in spite of the fact that there may be no return. That's how God loves. Now, last time you checked, is that how you love? Or are you and I a little more picky about how we give our love out? Now, understand, love doesn't mean you're capitulating to everything somebody desires. But love, the love of God, God loved us so much. Jesus loved so much that when He came and they wanted to kill Him, He said, why do you want to kill me, a man who's told you the truth? He loved them enough to tell them the truth. You know, he said, if we don't, he said, if you're talking, all you are is a noisemaker. Isn't that irritating? Boy, how much of that could you stand? Say, why are you doing that so much? Folks, we need to realize something. We can spout off all the scripture we want, but if we don't love people, if we do not have the love of God, that's what we are. Now, you know, there's times when a little tingling sounds good. But over and over and over and over and over, no. He said, if I don't have the love of God, he says, I'm just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. When we speak, we ought to speak the truth, the Bible says. We ought to speak the truth. The Bible tells us in Titus chapter number 2 that we ought to speak thou the things, he says, that become sound doctrine. Not just the truth, not just being honest with folks. Because if you're not honest, you can never come to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. How can you come to Christ if somebody doesn't tell you the truth? Amen. But not just the truth. He said, you need to speak the things which become sound doctrine. Now let me tell you something. Brother Tom was talking to us the other night, and he was talking about, he went to this guy got him to go to this Catholic seminar thing they had there. And he said they got there, and he said this one priest got up and started talking. And he said that the priest started, he thought he was going to do all right at first, because he started getting all excited and everything like that. But you know, all he was, that's all he was. Because he wasn't speaking the sound doctrine. Listen, folks, there was a lieutenant when I was in the Marine Corps. He could preach just like any of those television preachers you'd care to name. Sounded just like him. He sounded excited, but he did it to make fun of them. Folks, it's not just about getting excited. You have to speak the things that become sound doctrine. I'm sorry, but I know Catholic doctrine. There is nothing to get excited about in Catholic doctrine. There's nothing to get excited about, because it's all a big question mark. Gee, am I going to heaven? I don't know. Maybe if Peter and Mary pray enough for me, I can. Have you been baptized? Have you been confirmed? Have you had communion? Did you get the last rites? Might not go. I'm sorry, that's nothing to get excited about. Not a thing to get excited about. I get excited about my salvation, because it is a know-so salvation. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have possessed at this moment eternal, that is, life of God. That you may believe in the name of the only begotten Son of God. See, that's something to get excited about. And I do. I thank God for the day that I realized I was a lost sinner, for all my religion, all of my clanking cymbals. I was lost until the day that Jesus found me. Amen. And He found me. He came looking for me. I only thought I was looking for Him. He found me. At that barracks in Twin Palms, California. Think about it. And He saved me there. That's something to be excited about. That's something to preach about. That's something to shout about. That's something to sing about. Amen? Sound doctrine. It isn't because I got my head wet. It's not even because I got my whole body wet that I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven because Jesus loved me enough to come and die in my place. Amen? That's why I'm going. And He said if I would come and repent and ask Him to save me, He said He would. And I said, God, I do. Amen. That's exciting. That's exciting. I don't get excited about incense floating in the air. I don't get excited about eating a piece of bread. I enjoy the Lord's Supper. But it's sound doctrine. You and I, if we're not speaking sound doctrine, that's all we are. All we are. Speaking the truth. Speaking sound doctrine. But most importantly, like He said, if I have not charity, speaking in love. Speaking in love. Because you care about them. Because you care about their soul. Because you care about their good. Because you care about the fact that Jesus is going to come and they're going to be left behind if somebody doesn't tell them. And so you speak. Speak. Be careful not to become sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. Just a bunch of noise makers. Folks, I don't want to have a religion that makes a noisemaker out of me. I want to have a relationship that where God can use the words I speak to bring people to Christ. That's what I want to have. I don't want to be a noisemaker. The Bible says this in Proverbs 15:4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Puts a hole in your heart when you had a perverse speech. We need a wholesome tongue. Notice what Paul went on to say. He said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries. Again, he didn't say he understood all mysteries. It is true that he tells us, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Yes, Paul did reveal mysteries, but that doesn't mean that he understood all mysteries. He says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Have you ever met anybody who had all knowledge? I only met one person who had all knowledge. That's Jesus on the day I got saved. He's the only one I ever met had all knowledge. I don't know a single man on the face of the earth who can make that claim. Paul didn't either, and he's not claiming to. He said, and though I have all faith. You ever met anybody had all faith? I ain't met them yet. So that I could remove mountains. But even if you had all that stuff, he says, and have not charity, he says, I am nothing. You know, we like to put a lot of stock in people who can do amazing things, don't we? We watch football. Did you see that pass he made? Did you see the catch he made? They'll watch baseball. Did you see that home run he hit? And people make a big deal. When I was in Little League, I hit a grand slam home run in an over inning. We were down by 1 point. We had 2 outs. I went to full count and I had a grand slam home run, brought in 4 runs, won the game. People gave me money. Big deal. We like to make a big deal about people who accomplish great things. And Paul said, even, and you have to admit, somebody who had the gift of prophecy and understood all the mysteries and had all the knowledge, you have to admit that'd be a pretty impressive person. And Paul said, if I have all of that, but I don't have the love of God, I am nothing. 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 Listen, folks, God didn't save you and I to be nobodies. The world's full of nobodies. People trying to accomplish things and toot their own horns. God didn't call us to that. He said in Romans chapter 8, he says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that ye, the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You want to be somebody? You need, and I need, to walk worthy of God. Ephesians 4 says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. Walk worthy of God. You say, well, you can't be worthy. I'm not talking about being worthy of heaven. I'm talking about walking worthy of God. I'm talking about walking in a way that I do not bring shame to God. Walking in a way that I don't bring shame to God. He said this. He said, how? With all lowliness, not trying to lift myself up, and meekness, not trying to accomplish my own will, with long suffering. That means I'm willing to suffer a lot for the sake of Christ. Forbearing, the Bible says, one another in love. Please, brother, don't do that. There have been people who I've known who have been ready to leave a church that I was a member of. And I've gone to them and I've begged them, please don't. Whatever your problem is, let's come together and let's find the solution to it. So the Bible says, if a brother be overtaken in the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of what? Meekness. Considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. That's what you and I are supposed to do. That's walking worthy of God. Do you have a heart like God has? He says there, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. That's walking worthy of God, of the vocation that you're called to. Not being a nobody. Be somebody. Be the person God has made you to be. In Christ, we need to walk worthy. We need to walk circumspectly. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul writing, and Ephesians chapter 5, Paul said in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Didn't Jesus say you're the light of the world? You're supposed to make things manifest. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You understand, God doesn't want you just plodding through your life, tripping accidentally along. God has a will for your life. He has a will for you. There are three things that Paul tells us to do. First of all, he says to be awake, to awake, thou that sleepest. When you wake up, that means that you're aware of your surroundings. Y'all ever woke out of sleep and had to lay there a minute, figure out where you were? That's part of the waking process. Listen, you and I need to wake up and realize where we are. We're in the house of God. We are a people who have been called by God in this place. Yes, we support missionaries. But we have been called in this place to win people to Christ. To have a passion for them. That's what we've been called to. We need to be awake to where we are if we're going to walk circumspectly. And he said not just to awake, he said to arise from the dead. To arise means to get yourself excited. To get yourself mobile. You know, it's not enough to just wake up in the morning and lay in bed. You got to get up. Amen? Not just wake up, but get up. You know, you can be aware of where God has put you, but that doesn't mean that you're willing to do anything. You got to get up. You got to get yourself some excitement about the life that God has given you.
Amen, preacher. We should be excited about that. I'll think about that.
No. If you don't walk circumspectly, you got to wake up and you got to get up. You got to get your mind going. You got to get your heart going. You got to fill your heart. I love that last song. He said that in the heart, he said, I can't remember how it's phrased now. He imparts the song. Amen. I like that song because that's what God does to me. Amen. I'll be going through my day and I might be having some bad thoughts or wrong thoughts or however you want to put it, depressing thoughts, whatever I'm going to call it. But God will come along and he'll put a song in my heart, amen. Like those old jukeboxes, you know, you'd put a quarter in and push a button. I like to be God's jukebox, amen. Amen. I want to be God's jukebox where he can come up and he can push a number. Let's sing this one, son. Amen. He imparts the song. You got to get up. Don't just wake up. You need to get up. You need to arise to the occasion. You need to sing the songs. You need to know the word. You need to be excited about the truth that the one who does not lie has said that to you. Amen. I have a great life because Jesus is my Savior. And it doesn't matter what happens. To me, it's like an adventure story. You know? I don't know what's going to happen next, but it's okay. Because I've got Christ. I'm with God. I'm hid. My life is hid with God and Christ. And I want to see it revealed. I want to see it made known. The life that God has made for me as his child. Man, I had somebody say the other day, well, you're just a peon. I said, I'm not a peon anywhere. I'm not a peon anywhere except for this, that I'm no better than anybody else on the face of the earth, but God has called me to other things. God has called me to be a light in this world. God has called me to be a voice in this world. And he's called you too. You need to awake. If you're going to walk circumspectly, you need to arise. You need to arise. I got out here this morning, getting ready for church, and I looked out at the sunrise. It is so pretty. I tried to catch it on my phone and put it on the website.
It's just the sun is coming up. Oh, that's really cool. That's the way it is with Jesus in your heart. That's the way it is when God fellowships with you. It's really cool. Amen? Don't be a nobody. Walk worthy of the vocation. Walk circumspectly. He said, you need to awake. You need to arise. And then he said, redeeming the time. You need to act. You need to act. You need to act on those things that God has told you about. You need to act. Let me ask you, ask yourself this question. Answer this question, I guess, let's put it this way. Answer this question in your own mind and heart. One day I'm going to win somebody to Christ. True or false? You see, your answer tells a lot about what you think your action's going to be. If you said, well, no, I'll never win anybody to Christ. You've already planned on not acting. You've already planned on not giving the gospel. You've already planned on not asking anybody, wouldn't you like to receive Christ as your Savior today? I love asking people that question. I love doing that. Because the Bible says that when I do that, Paul said this way, he said, it's as though Christ did beseech you by us. When God gives me the opportunity to give somebody the gospel, and I say, wouldn't you like to receive Christ as your Savior today? It's just as if Jesus himself we're asking him. I'm not Jesus. I know that. But he has given me the honor of being allowed to invite people to heaven. Because that's my hope. That's my hope. And I have permission from Dad to invite people over. Amen. That's the way it is in your kids. You want to have a friend over? Then you go to mom and dad and say, Mom, Dad, can so-and-so come over? Isn't that what you did? And if mom and dad said, yeah, that's fine. You got to go over and invite them to your house. And you knew it was okay. That's what you're called to. Amen. You're a child of God, and God's already given you and I permission to invite people home. Already. So what do you do? What are you waiting for? Act. Get busy. We're going to have a big party at our Father's house. Let's invite some folks. Amen. Let's make it a big party. Amen. Let's fill this building full of people who are going to the party at Dad's house. Amen. Get busy. Otherwise, you're a nobody. God's called you to be somebody. He's called you to a life of activity. Well, you know, we would have got that done if somebody would have showed up. Somebody does everything. Nobody does anything. We're always waiting for somebody else to do it. Why don't you be somebody? Amen. Otherwise, if we don't have charity, if we don't have the love of God, it doesn't matter what we do. We're nothing. We don't love God enough and love folks enough to do something, to be somebody. Amen? Not do it to be seen. Oh, everybody look at me. Not do it for a pat on the back. Oh, you're such a good guy. Amen. doing it for the love of God.
Walk spiritually. Let me give you some verses. We're going to read these. I'm just going to point them out as I go along. John 11:33 says, "When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled." When was the last time you were troubled in your spirit for someone? Last time you were troubled in your spirit, groaned, where you literally groaned for them. That's what Jesus did. He groaned in the spirit for them. Acts 18:5, when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit. When's the last time you were pressed by the Spirit of God, where you gave way to the pressure of the Holy Spirit of God to give someone the gospel? He was telling you, give them a track. Give them a track. Tell them about, ask them if they want. You know, that's the way God usually starts. The Holy Spirit says, give them a track. And he says, while you're giving them a track, you may as well give them the gospel. Hey, while you're giving them the gospel, you may as well just invite them to salvation. When's the last time you were pressed in the spirit and you gave way to that pressing? Last time you gave way to that pressing. I've been able to see people saved because I gave way to being pressed in the spirit. You want to see people saved? Let God's pressure work on you. Amen. Walk spiritually. In Acts 19:21, after these things were ended, Paul purposed in the spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. Purposed in the spirit. When's the last time you let God set the priorities of your day and life? And purposed in the spirit to do something for God. You got to be careful. You start purposing the Spirit, you might end up teaching Sunday school one day. You start purposing the Spirit, you might end up showing up at church all the time. You start purposing the Spirit, you're going to end up winning somebody to Christ. Amen. It's hard telling where you'll go if you start purposing to obey the Spirit of God, walking spiritually, saying, God, next time you speak to me, I'm doing it. Next time you speak to me, I'm doing it. Whatever it is, you say the word. I'm going to do it. I've purposed in the Spirit. Do you live your Christian life that way? Are you purposed that way? Or are you just sort of hit and miss? And, well, you know, I'll show up to church, see what happens. Purposing. Acts 20:22. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. When's the last time you let the Holy Spirit of God bind you to something? Bind you. I will not turn from this. I am bound by the Spirit of God. There are things that I will never, ever, ever forsake or leave because I have been bound by the Holy Spirit of God. He's shown it to me. He binds it around every day. He reminds me. I'm bound to it. I'm bound to it. I told God I'd preach until He stopped me from preaching. I told him I'd be the pastor here until he told me to go somewhere else. I'm bound. I am here because this is where God wants me. And there is no allurement that I wish to follow that would lead me away from where God has bound me. I'm glad to be bound in the Spirit. He said there in Ephesians 4:23, this is an important one as well. He said, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There are some times, folks, when you and I need to just get alone with God and let Him renew us. Let Him renew your heart and your mind through His Word. You want to be somebody. Be somebody that God's Spirit has an impact on. Ephesians 6:18, praying in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That does not mean speaking in tongues. Praying in the Spirit. You say, what is praying in the Spirit? Praying in the Spirit is very easy. You get on your knees, or if need be, on your face before God. And you lay there and stay there and say nothing until you're surrendered to whatever God has to say. That's how you pray in the Spirit. You stay with God until all of your will and desire has passed away, so that He can fill you with His. That's what you do. So I've never done that. You ought to try it sometime. Sometime, when you get a chance, get on your face, get on your knees, get on the floor and lay down, prostrate. And don't move. Didn't the Bible say that when you go before God, He said, be not hasty to speak? Don't rush in to prayer. Don't just go jumping and tumbling in like a bunch of kids in a big thing of plastic balls. When you come into prayer, you know, don't start the conversation until you know God's there listening. I know He hears everything all the time, but there's a difference between that and between Him sitting, you know, I can be in this room and I can hear you talking to somebody else while I'm preaching, but that doesn't mean you're talking to me. And God can hear everything that everybody says, but it's an entirely different proposition when I have come for a deliberate, personal audience with Him. Don't rush into that. You need to pray in the Spirit. You need to be in prayer until your will is lost in His. That's praying in the Spirit. It's not uttering some unintelligible words. That's nonsense. If that's the case, how do you walk in the Spirit? I've never walked in a foreign language before. Being in the Spirit isn't anything about tongues. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with being submitted to the will of God and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's about. Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. We need to worship in the Spirit. Again, that's not tongues. So you aren't going to start to worship in this place until you forget all about what's for lunch, until you forget all about what the hands on the clock are doing. Until you forget all about that and become interested in one thing and one thing only. God, speak to me. Worship in the Spirit. That's who Jesus is looking for. He said they will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the kind of person God's looking for. There's a lot of church services going on today and there's no worship going on. Because people are all worried about everything else. Instead of saying, God, speak to me. Boy, I wish that preacher wasn't so dry. When did you pray for him last to preach well? It always wore me out when I'd hear people talking about the pastor. Well, he gets so boring when he preaches. But how come you're not praying for him? Or maybe you need to pray for you to wake up and worship God instead of worrying about all that other stuff. How long is this going to take? Well, you ain't worshiping God that day. You realize the children of Israel stood all day long while the man of God read the word of God to them and explained it to them. They all stood all day long. How does that happen? Because they came to worship. When you come to worship, the time in church will seem like but a moment, because you came to worship. See, because with God there is no time. You understand that there's no time with God. And only until we come into the place where we don't worry about that stuff anymore can we begin to worship God. If you begin to say, well, it's got to be done by noon, you just ended worship. Because you just told God He can't talk to you any longer than noon. No matter how important it is that what the pastor or preacher has to say, you just said it doesn't matter. If he can't say it by noon, I'm done. That's why most churches today, you know how long they have revival services? 3 days. 3 days. Three measly little days. Because God's people can't muster up enough spirituality to pay attention to God for more than 3 days. That's the truth. That's the truth. See, I'm not going to let you all get away with that. We've never had a 3-day meeting. We never will. We have them for a week, Sunday to Sunday in April, and one day, by God's good grace, we're going to have it for 2 weeks. So you better get ready to worship the Lord. You better get ready. Because if Jesus doesn't come before then, we're going to be having 2-week meetings. 1 week of revival and 1 week of evangelism. That ought to excite you if you love God. A week to get revived and then a week to go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. That's my dream. Oh, I long for that day. I long for that day. But you know you got to train. If you want to run 6 miles, don't try it this morning. You better build up to that thing. Now, folks, do you have a desire, a hunger to worship God? Colossians 1:8, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. That's the only way you're going to love people like you should. In the Spirit of God. If you want to be somebody, you need to walk circumspectly. You need to walk spiritually. Amen. You need to have the Spirit of God leading you. You need to walk worthy of the one who's called you. Then lastly, Paul said this, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, the love of God, it profiteth me nothing. I don't care how much money I put in the offering plate, how many missionaries I send extra money to, if I don't have the love of God, I'm not doing a bit of good. I'm a ne'er-do-well. If it gripes you to put your money in the offering, nothing.
If it gripes you to have to come to church, nothing. If it gripes you to have to read your Bible, nothing. You're a ne'er-do-well. You're never doing any good because you don't do it out of love for God. You don't do it because you love God, and it doesn't matter whether He ever does anything more for you. If He never does anything more for me, He saved my soul from eternity in the lake of fire. If He never did another thing for me, I have nothing to complain about. And I count it all joy to suffer need so that I can preach the gospel. I count it all joy to suffer persecution so I can preach the gospel. I count it all joy to suffer mocking so that I can preach the gospel. I count it all joy to suffer the loss of whatever God wants me to lose so that I can preach the gospel. It's all joy or it's all nothing. A ne'er-do-well. Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. That's what you were made a child of God for, was to do good works. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from the Father. For which of those do you stone me? Folks, people, don't expect. You know, when you're doing what's good and right before them, before God, don't expect that they're just going to say, oh, thank you for telling me I'm a wicked sinner, for telling me I'm wicked. Thanks a lot. That's not going to be their initial reaction. That's not going to be their, oh, thanks for telling me. No, that's not their initial reaction. They're going to be offended. That's why they wanted to stone Jesus. Jesus said, I've done many wonderful works. For which one of those do you want to stone me? You want to stone me for healing somebody? For making a blind man see? For making a deaf man talk? A dumb man talk? A deaf man hear? A lame man walk? Which one do you want to stone him for? Folks, He didn't do it so they'd all applaud Him. He did it because He loved them. Man, He put the ear back on Miletus. They put His ear back on the side of His head. Peter cut it off with a sword. And this guy came to bring Jesus to be wrongfully tried and crucified. And Jesus put His ear back. He didn't say, well, suits you right for coming and being on the wrong side. He didn't do that. He said, Peter, put that thing away. Picked it up. I love to see. Picked up His ear. Slapped it back on. Didn't use any super glue or nothing. He just put it on there and there it was. I don't believe there is one bit of blood left. Personally, that's just, I can't prove that. But I believe when He put that ear back on, there was no blood. It was just all clean. That's probably the best His ear ever felt was when Jesus put it back on. Amen? He did it because He loved them. Many wonderful works. Do good, that people might praise your Father. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Do good so that it will be publicized, so that they will tell the story of the good works that you did. He said in 1 Timothy 5, he said, well reported for good works. Talking about a widow. She needs to be well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet, if she have really relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work, well reported of. Do you have a reputation of doing good? Not of being perfect, but of doing good to your enemies. Doing good to those who persecute you and abuse you, call you names, doing good to them. Man, that's a story that'll get around. Well reported. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Well, how in the world does that come around? Because you have a habit of doing good works. It's publicized. It's patterned. Titus 2:7, in all thy things, showing thyself a pattern of good works. In doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. A pattern, a habitual expectation. Where people just always expect you to do good works. They just expect it of you. Man, if we call a work day, well, I know they're going to be here. Man, it's time for visitation. Go out soul. I know they're going to be here. I know them. They'll give the gospel to us. I know they will. Is that the reputation you have? Well reported of. And patterned. Regular application of good works in your life. Patterned good works. Good works. Good works. Good works. Passionate. Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, he says, zealous of good works. It ought to be a passion for you. It ought to be something you long to do. You look for opportunities because you just like doing it. Because it makes your father look good. Amen. And it makes people feel good about what you're telling them. And they might even come to church just because you've established a passionate pattern of good works. You just always have a kind word for them. Listen to what the Bible says about charity. Chapter 13, verse 4. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Boy, sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. Charity envieth not, and is not jealous of what others have. Charity vaunteth not itself. Doesn't say, look at me, look at me. It's not puffed up. I'm smarter than you are. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Isn't all about me, me, me. Woe is me, poor me. Why don't I have this? Why don't I have that? How about trying some charity? The love of God is not easily provoked. Because folks, people are going to try you. You go around, start preaching this stuff, talking this stuff, they are going to put you to the test. They are. I remember a woman telling me one time that she got led to Christ by a man. Because he came up, all this smiley and all this gospel stuff, and was trying to win her to Christ. And so she said she deliberately started flirting with him. Deliberately. To get him off the gospel and interested in her. And he didn't go for it. He just kept giving her the gospel. And she said, that's when I started listening to what he was saying. And got saved. Pattern of good works. Amen. It's not easily provoked. Provocation doesn't necessarily have to be to anger. The Bible tells us to provoke one another to love and good works. It says, thinketh no evil. I don't think about evil doing evil to you, and I don't assume right off the bat that you're meaning evil for me. It thinketh no evil. Doesn't mean you're not to be on your guard, a courser, or people who are out trying to hurt people. But as you're dealing with folks, don't just presume that they're unreachable. Anyone can be reached with the gospel of Christ. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. Don't tell people it's okay to live in sin. Amen. Don't tell them that's okay. Because then you're not loving them with the love of God. It says, it rejoiceth not iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things. You got a burden, let me share it with you. It believeth all things. Well, it may not look that way, but God said, and I believe God. No matter what you see, I believe Him. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Not, oh, I hope, I hope. I look forward to the day that God fulfills all His promises to me. He's going to. That's why I can't help it. That's why I got to get excited. That's why I'm happy. Because He's going to do all He's promised to me and more. Because He's able to do abundantly above all of that which I can ask and think, and He is going to do it. Can't help it. He's worthy of my belief. Endureth all things for the sake of the one you love. He, the Bible says, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? All because of what He saw for us. He said, I'll go through that. Man, if that'll get Debbie a place in heaven, I'll do that for her. I'll endure the cross. Oh, I hate it. Oh, I'm not going to like hanging there naked. I don't deserve all that sin. But man, if Emily can go to heaven because I do this, I'm going to do it. Endureth all things. Charity, praise God, never faileth. Thank God. Charity never fails. It'll never go away. It'll never become old, outdated, or faded. The love of God. For eternity, I am going to bask in the love of God. I am my beloved, and He is my. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved, and He is mine. His banner over me is love. I am my beloved. And He is mine. His banner over me is love. His banner over me is love. If that don't make you shout, I can't help you. The love of God. Children, ye are the salt of the earth, Jesus said. But the salt of loss is savior. Wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and be trodden under the foot of men. What do you want to be? You want to be a noisemaker? Nobody? A ne'er-do-well? Or do you want to fill your heart and life with the love of God? Have it all. Let's all stand to our feet for just a few minutes this morning. Heads bowed and eyes closed. I don't know if God spoke to you or not. Maybe He just did this for me. But I don't believe the Word of God returns void. I believe it has a purpose.